I love it. Think we understand what we say we understand.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It'd be mighty hard not to praise
him. Oh my.
Giving you an answer to every question you ever had, every question you ever will have.
Yes.
An answer. A positive answer. Not just not a bad answer, a good answer.
Rest in all things.
He's got it all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thank you.
Yes.
Amen.
I was proud this morning to be able to come here.
Yes.
I was glad to be here this morning.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
Amen.
Serving God.
Amen.
You know, I'm not doty about this thing. This is real to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hog the time, hog the mic, but I'm thank God that He gave me the opportunity to come to this church to praise God with you people and with such a peace, such a rest that everything we get is positive.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything is for my good, and I wouldn't know that if I didn't come here.
Right.
I wouldn't know anything if I didn't come here.
No, right.
I'd be all men most miserable.
No, right.
I wouldn't even know how to praise God. It would be a form and a fashion.
Right.
It would be a tradition.
Yeah.
I'd be mocking somebody. Oh. It'd be a parrot. But when I say I can praise him when the sun goes down, I know what that means.
Yeah.
When it's dark out there, I can praise
him.
Amen. I can praise him in the morning. I can praise him in the noontime.
Yeah.
That means I can praise him all my day long.
Amen.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I know who I serve.
Yes.
I know his name.
Amen.
He knows my name.
Yes.
These are things that they don't know.
Right.
These are things that they don't see.
No.
Well, I see it. I know it.
Amen.
That's why I can praise him.
Amen.
That's why I love this part of the service. It just gets me ready to hear what he's got to say. It gets all that garbage off of me.
Yes.
This is just a lather to get me ready for the word.
Man.
I love it. I love being able to come and serve God on my best day and my worst day.
Right.
But what I love about it is that I know who I serve.
Right.
I know this for myself.
Yes, sir.
I was glad when they said,
amen.
I mean,
so
let us go into the house.
Got a guarantee in here.
Amen.
Got a guarantee, 100%.
Let's sing page 115.
Oh,
burn, Holy Spirit.
Burn
in me.
Yes.
Burn in me. Amen, Lord.
There should be some obligation.
Sure.
There should be a little thankfulness about you. Don't just take this for granted.
Right.
Nothing worse, somebody rich, somebody got everything, and they act like they don't have nothing.
You know,
act like they need more.
Wonder whether God's or not. It's a guarantee.
Amen.
Yes, burn.
Pentecost. Talking about burn, burn, Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Come on, people. Wake up. This is church.
This is our worship service.
Amen. What's wrong with y'all today?
Amen.
I couldn't sit there no more. Now, y'all need to turn those speakers up here so we can hear.
Right.
And if on this platform.
Amen.
Y'all need to get your hands loose. Yeah. Get them out of your pockets. Yeah. Quit acting like you're at a funeral. And act like you're in the house of God.
Amen.
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 God couldn't burn if you wanted to. Y'all sit up here acting like y'all dead. Get out of that stuff.
Amen.
This is not a form. It's not a ritual. It's not a fashion. This is church, people.
Amen.
If you're not going to come here to have church, why did you get out of bed?
Amen.
You might as well stay home in bed. You've got a little more out of it. Come on here now.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but y'all ain't going to mess up my church.
No.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's a worship service.
Yeah.
Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my soul. You know what that means? Yes, burn, burn, Holy Spirit.
The Christ.
You press your way into this.
Amen.
He's not going to force himself on anybody.
Praise God. I want to praise him this morning for everything that he's done for me. And I don't want to get rebuked, you know, like, God is so good. And, like, we're not doing anything here. I want to praise him.
Amen. Amen.
I'm so thankful that he puts it in me, you know. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to try to sing this. I don't know. We practiced this before with Sister Ramona, but I don't know what key. I don't have a chord, so I'm just going to try to sing this. I am predestinated by God's foreknowledge. For he knew that I would serve him from the start. He knew that I would see the light and conform in his own image. That's why he placed the seed in my heart. I am predestinated by God's foreknowledge. For he knew that I would serve him from the start. He knew that I would see the light and conform in his own image. That's why he placed the seed in my heart. Heavenly places already resurrected with our new name. I am predestinated by God's foreknowledge. For he knew that I would serve him from the start. He knew that I would see the light and conform. That's why he placed the seed in my heart. I've often wondered why God had chosen me. And why did I receive the grace he brought? For before I ever knew it, he had me in his own thinking.
Amen.
I was sitting there thinking, it is finished.
Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about predestination right before she sang that. It is finished because God put a piece of Him in me, in each one of us. Yeah. That's what you can say it even at the when you finish with the Lamb's Book of Life. It's finished. Why? Because a part of God is in each one of us. Everything we need, we have right there and then. Hey, look at David. David committed adultery. David murdered. Right. Didn't matter. He had a piece of God. Amen. He was an overcomer. I'm an overcomer, not because of me within myself, but because of that part of God that is within me.
Right.
Thank God for predestination and understanding of it, because it explains who I am, how I overcome. It's because of that piece of God that's in me that's carrying me through. And everything I overcome because of that piece of God that's in me. I've come from God. I know I'm going back to God.
Amen.
Not because of anything I've done. I've been an example. Good example and bad example. Don't matter. Because of who I am and where I come from, that determines where I'm going.
Yes, sir.
It is finished before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
It was finished because of what God gave me.
Amen. Amen. You're right, brother. Yes.
And it's not a form of fashion.
Many
people are gathering for church this morning. We went to a funeral yesterday, and they know how to do the homiletics. They know how to get a crowd going, but it's a talk thing.
Yeah.
It's something you work up. You don't have to work this up.
No.
This is real.
I cannot praise Him enough. I will never get it out like I want to do.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness, to realize what is here in this day, in this humble group of people that doesn't look like nothing but ordinary people. Where's Lynn?
All right. I'm going to be good.
Nah. See?
The Holy, into His bright I see, voice of the great provider, everything we need, shelter in time of fear, then ask God is here. We are the Word of God. That we are the Son of Man, God's great master plan, the Word of God. There is a war of possession on my battlefield, but God is aware. We try to understand that we are the Son of Man, God's great master plan, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Quick, go ahead, Brother Childers.
25 years later, I went to a place in Manila country, and way down along the ocean, we went back. They said they'd prayed. They had my picture on the wall. I've told a story before. Holding a little baby. And they said they prayed. 25 years later, I arrived back in that island. And they said, that's Brother Childers. When I walked in, they said, is that Brother Childers? You know, 25 years later, you change a lot. You get older. They looked, and they said, is that Brother Childers? And several of them said, yeah, that's Brother Childers. Mm-hmm. And here I am. 5 years later in a foreign country.
Right.
Was you with me, Brother Moore? I think you was. And so here we was. I remember how we sat. We sat over in the corner. It's a great big place. Several hundred people, and we sat over here when they fed us. We sat over here in a corner, and I ate. I got up and gave my place to somebody else. It's amazing. I thought, ain't God wonderful? Time don't mean nothing to Him. Not at all. And I thought, Lord, you've been good to me. And I'm thinking here now, that's been, I don't know how many years since that time. I haven't been back, and I'll probably never be back my age. And so I got up and gave my place. The ministers, they let the ministers sit. The audience out here, and here we was sitting over here and had plenty to eat. Plenty to eat, Brother Moore. I remember those things so well. I just can't forget it. And I thought, Lord, 25 years later, you take me back to a place where they desire to see me again. They said they prayed, and 25 years later, I showed up. And God bless. I was preaching then. I was quite younger at that time. And I remember come a storm along the ocean. Here we were. I think this was another time, but it was another place, way down along the ocean. And here I was wanting to get out of there. I had rented couple of buses, Alamanel, to take us down there along the ocean quite a distance and come back to get us. And I'm paying all this. Them buses hauling probably 75 people apiece. They were loaded. Coma storm. Now, I'm not saturating a bit. And the buses was running along the ocean line. And the water was shooting up out of the ocean. The buses up here. And shooting over top of the buses. Scary. Very, very, very scary. Especially if you're not acquainted with the ocean. And I wasn't acquainted. And those people from the Manila country lay down right in the house and lay on you whatever they had to do. They pile up. They pile up. I'm just telling you how I travel. And if Brother Moore remember, he knows what I'm saying. And they was pointing me out. You mean, you know, 25 years later, I put a little age on me. My hair was different color. And they looked, they said, that's Brother Childers holding that baby 25 years later. They said, is that you, Brother Childers? I said, that's me. I'm just thinking what God can do.
Amen.
What God can do. They fed us. He fed us good. I was preaching in that time. I quit preaching. Well, I ain't been preaching 20 years later. I mean, here, I probably was getting up in age now and couldn't preach, couldn't even hold a thought. But I remember Brother Branham, 65 years old. Brother Branham said, if I'm going to do anything, I got to do it quick. I'm getting to be an old man.
Right.
Remember him saying, I'm getting to be an old man. And here it is. I had hot water one time, as far as I remember, and all the traveling, going back and forth. I went to, in that country several times. And so Brother Moore started traveling with me. He wouldn't travel with me to start with, but he started traveling. And I just loved the preach to those people.
Amen.
It blessed me. I thought, nobody preaches like Brother Childers. You hear me? Nobody preaches like Brother Childers.
Amen.
In another country,
right,
that far away from home, burning in my heart,
right.
Amen. Lord Jesus,
word upon word.
And this little brother said, I'm going to take all of you home with me. So we went home. And they gave me a private room. And this is where I had hot water. I could take a shower. And God bless. Sandy slept in another room, I think, if I'm thinking right. And I slept by myself. They wanted me to have this room. They said, Brother Children's going to sleep in here. Okay. I'm ready. And I'm ready for a bed. And they said, in this place, it was dangerous. They'd kill you, Brother Moore. You had to watch. And this pastor, or the son of the pastor, we traveled to his house, and they said, now, you got to watch. They'll come out as you're traveling and stop you and kill you. So it's not a pleasant place. And I thought, oh, Lord, you be with us. And you protect us. And he did. Out of all the traveling, they'd come out of that hill country. They'd go up in the hills, and they'd come down out of the hills to the meeting. They rode those trucks. You remember, Brother Moore, they'd load those big trucks in the back, load them down, and come out of the hill country to the meetings. I've been the more you've been blessed. Yes. You've been blessed. When you travel in those countries, you're at your own rest. You're at your own rest. And I thought, Lord, you will protect me. Amen. I never really had a lot of fear, Brother Moore. You travel with me, you know, I wasn't traveling. And I'm still thinking about the little baby. They said, is that Brother Children? That they couldn't hardly believe it. They said, 25 years later? And here he's back, and we prayed for him to come back. Different countries they prayed. Send Brother Children's back. They made statements, and the statements were like this. Nobody preached like Brother Children's. They said that in their country. This is a prisoner's man. And I took it serious. Yeah, I preached. But here it is, I'm 87 years old. One out of the preaching business.
Amen.
Brother Moore, you and Jeremiah's got it.
Amen. Thank God.
Whatever is done, you fellas got to do it.
Amen.
I probably won't even go back to those countries. That's a long drive. Yeah. Long flight.
A long flight.
It will wear me out.
Sure.
Think about all those countries. We travel from Manila. That they said they only had 3 airports in all the countries. And God bless. I just want to tell the story because it blessed me. Is that Brother Children hanging on that wall? And I said, yeah, that's Brother Children.
Amen.
Said, you don't favor yourself in a way. I said, quite old. Quite old. But still preaching, Brother Moore.
Amen.
My. What a time. Nobody preaches like Brother Childers.
Sure.
They said, that guy, ain't nobody in this country
right.
Preaches like Brother Childers. Mm-hmm. Nobody in Manila, Salmonella, hundreds of miles further, way down in the country. They'd take me, and so only three countries had a flight. When you go in the other places, they didn't have flights. You either buses or whatever traveling. And God's watched over me all of this time.
Amen.
Thousands of miles away from home, not knowing too many people. And they say, Brother Joe's preaching. And I didn't hold back, Brother Moore. When you was with me when I preached, I didn't hold back. I preached everything was in me. I never knew without it, get back. And in Manila, we rented this place. You remember that, don't you? You was with me. Josh. And that we rented this place. And hundreds of people. I believe they said 1,500 at one time. Gathered in this place. And God bless. I'm thinking about it. You don't stop God's blessing. God will bless over top of what you think.
Yes, sir.
What you're going to say.
Amen.
Old and young.
Yes, sir.
This one place prayed 9 or 10 years. This old man prayed. He told me, this is the words in my mouth. It's the second time that I was there. I was scared in a way, ocean. And when I told you, them waves would shoot up over the concrete wall where we were riding. The buses, and over top of the buses, the waves would shoot. I don't know if you were with me or not. Two buses. Huh?
Brother Mike Prater was with you.
But God blessed. I've never seen the light.
Mm-hmm.
But God bless.
Amen.
And when you are riding the bus along the roadway, the ocean here.
The bus is here. I remember one foot in the rock. And it come a star, and I said, let's get out of here. While we can. We already loaded. We have the buses.
Right.
And we were traveling.
No.
Yeah, I was scared, and here they was. The waves, it was scary.
Sure.
When the bus is running here, the ocean right here,
mm-hmm.
right along, hit the water, hitting the buses. Scary. Very scary.
Big storm.
Mm-hmm. I said, let's get out of here. Floorboard them buses.
Amen.
We had them loaded. And the storm come, and the waves shot up way beyond the top of the buses.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you've been good to me.
Amen.
Brother Moore has been good to me.
Amen.
I never traveled like that in my life. And here I have let the church back home. Church back home. And I'm thousands of miles away from home. Depending on the Lord.
Amen.
My only hope, my only rescue, Brother Moore, is take it. I had one ride. The buses, but this ride was a bus ride, but ocean ride.
On a boat.
And here I am taking that ride all night long. Never rode a boat in my life. Now, you talk about, I'm a Kentucky boy. There's nothing like me. And I thought, Lord, if you don't watch over me, I'll never see home again. And I said, I want to see dry land. One more time. Now, when it's shooting up and the boat and Brother Lockett laying down sleeping, that's all he knew, is boats, buses, and things like that. Ocean ride, Brother Lockett lay down. Go to sleep.
Bockings. Bockings with a B. Bockings.
Yeah.
Not Brother Lockett. Yeah, he wouldn't be on the boat. He would have never went.
But I like to tell the story because, let me say, I'm going to shut up.
You're all right.
There's none like it, this story. Amen. If you never travel in those countries, there's none like it. It was scary. And I thought, Lord, help me. I prayed.
Sure.
Let me see dry land.
One more time.
Let me get back home one more time.
Amen.
And I didn't think I'd ever go back. And you know what? The Lord wouldn't let me quit.
Right.
Said, you got to go back to Manila. You gotta take a plane ride. I said, Lord, I'm a little scared. I don't know how to act. And you want me to go back? I said, you gotta go back. I ain't done with you again. So here I go. Leave my little wife crying her eyes out. My mother crying her eyes out. My wife said, your mom said you're not going anymore. You're not going to Manila. You're going to stay home. I told my wife, I belong to the Lord. If he says go, I'll have to go.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know how many times I went. Several times. God bless you.
God bless you.
I'm glad that Brother Moore's got it.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm glad you got it, Brother Moore.
Amen.
Even my age, I don't want it.
Mm-mm.
And Lord, so far you left me here. God's good.
Amen.
Now I'm going to shut up. I preached, I don't know how much in that country. To foreign people. This old man, he was a college degree fellow. He said, Childers, I have prayed 10 years, I believe, from 80 to 90 before I went back. I didn't go back till 90. I didn't think I'd ever go back. I didn't want nothing to do with that country. But the Lord said, go back. This college man, he said, I prayed. And I wore your tape out. Wore it out. He said, and praying that God would send you back a college professor. And said, here you are in 10 years. You have come back to our country. I said, yeah. And he's dead now. He died 2 years later. Well, Brother Moore, I'm glad you got it.
Amen.
I really, and I hate to say this, I don't want it. My age and everything about me won't let me take it. But I'm going to tell you, when I travel, I travel.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
This boy don't know.
No.
I was building a house at that time and taking hundreds, thousands of dollars with me to that country. And give it to the people and pay. Even Parnell went. And I thought this, Parnell never paid nothing. Did you hear me? Him making $90,000. He was saying this. I paid everything, Brother Moore. I didn't even want, Brother Moore had the church at one time. And Brother Moore said, give me so much, you know, where he could help me. Hey, Brother Moore wanted to help me. And Parnell, I'm going to say it again, paid nothing. I paid everything. I didn't even ask him. He probably would. I'm not saying he would. I said, I'll pay the bill. Now here you are in another country and paying hundreds, thousands of dollars. And Don and Ted back here building houses for me. I wouldn't have the money for them. When I pastored, I took no salary. Did I, Brother Moore? No, took no salary. I worked, made my own money, and paid my own way. Paid the foreign brothers traveling from another country to Manila, paying their way. I was out. I've told the story. But God bless, let me just tell it again. I'd pay from, I'd say easy, $10,000 up till 15, probably a more thousand a trip. I worked and made the money and travel and give thousands away. Them brothers said, Brother Childers, we were staying at motel. Brother Moore stayed in the motel. I rented the whole motel and paid the way. All of us staying in the motel, and my poor little wife, Sandy. I told her, I said, Sandy, don't give your bed away. I know they was old mothers, and Sandy couldn't stand, and Sandy would get up, sleep on the floor, and give them old ladies her bed. She'll be blessed. She'll be blessed. She went with me travel 3 times to that country. 3 times. I'd see her. We went from McDonald's eating in Manila, and them old women said they never ate out in their lives. That was the first time, and I took them out probably 100 of better, the preachers and all, and they said, we never had nobody treat us like this. We've lived in the ocean line and never ate out in their lives. This was a story I got. And they said, the Brother Childers, they told Sandy sat with them. They said, the Brother Childers do this all the time? Take 100 out and feed us? Sandy said, he does it all the time. I'll be blessed through the Lord.
Amen.
I'm done.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Yeah. God has blessed you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Church. Amen. God bless you. But quick announcement, next Saturday at 7, musicians practice. So remember that. Amen. And then we're going to sing page 191, God Has Smiled on Me, key of G.
Amen.
We'll get Pastor Moore up. The last thing to that story is Brother Childers was saying that picture, but the kid he was holding in the picture is the house that he stayed at that had the hot water. So it was a cool little coming together there. He came back 25 years later.
Yes.
It was pretty nice. Page 191, God Has Smiled on Me.
God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
Let's sing that again. God has smiled on me.
Yes, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
He is the source.
He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with His love. Everything that I should need, He sends it down from above. Yes, God.
A light unto,
a light unto my path is He. Without Him I would fall. I don't said to me, He's my all in all. Oh, yes, God has. Oh, He smiled on me. He has set me free.
Been so mighty, mighty, mighty good to us. Lord's words could not even express all that you've done, how you've blessed us in so many ways in the natural, and even so much more in the spiritual. You've blessed us with all heavenly blessings. Lord, as we're gathered around here this morning, we're here for your word. We're here to hear what you have for us. And Father, we ask you to just use it for your glory. Lord, I can read it, but Lord, it takes you to quicken it to our hearts. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for, Lord, Brother Childers' life and all that you've done in that man's life. It's been a blessing around the world. And Father, we appreciate all those stories, all those things, because those things really did happen, and you have blessed and been with him and has helped him and helped us over the years. Lord, now we have the word laying here. Have your way. Touch in the need, the sick, Lord. Be with us throughout the day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before you be seated, turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read this and then we'll be seated. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start with verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness, verse 2, and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bonds of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Amen. You may be seated.
Brother Moore has been one man that stuck with me. And Sandy was one girl that stuck with me. She said, Brother Childers, I want to travel with you. My first wife, you know, used to say, I haven't lost nothing. And I'm not going to looking for nothing. Sandy's second wife said, Brother Childers, I want to go with you.
Right.
Brother Moore has backed me through thick and thin.
Amen.
He's never let me down. We've never had a word, have we, Brother Moore?
Not one.
We've preached around the world. He's preached overseas with me. And God has blessed Brother Moore. Jeremiah has been a help to Brother Moore. I've run my time out. I don't can't do much more, Brother Moore. You fellas got to do it.
We got to do it. That's right.
And that's, I appreciate somebody taking over. You ain't seen nobody like Brother Moore and Jeremiah in the ministry line. You haven't seen it. You haven't seen the minister run to me and give me thousands of dollars and say, here, Brother Childers, I want to help you.
They don't do that.
Brother Moore told the church, said, give me so much, I forget what it was, 4,000 or 5,000 to help on the trip and things. The only man that done that, Brother Moore, out of all of my traveling, they didn't help me like that.
No, I don't see people giving money. I see them asking for it.
Yeah. And really, I give God to bless me.
He will.
There's never been a man, a poor man. I'm talking about a man from Kentucky that he had to eat molasses to live.
Right.
But God has turned it around and has blessed me in these last days. And I'm done now. I'm done. I'm depending on you and Jeremiah to finish the race.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look to me. I'm done. I know I'm done. But God will reward me.
Oh, yeah.
And bless me. But keep the fire of burning.
That's right. That's why this morning it bothered me with all that we have for us to come in here and act like we don't know what we got.
I know.
Or not appreciate what we have. You hear Brother Childers talking. He talks because he appreciates what he has. You know, when somebody appreciates what they have, they got something to give. And it just hit me wrong this morning. My righteous indignation got stirred up. I sit out there looking out, and the congregation of the Lord are sitting there and just, I don't know what was going on. I had to shake it because it's like, look them on, people. This, I went to a funeral yesterday. Now, I can understand people not singing and not getting with it when they're at a funeral. They're heartbroken. They've lost something. But when you're in church and you're looking like the people I saw yesterday, I'm sorry. I can't sit still for that. And it's like, you know, we've got a job to do. We need to be on our toes with the microphones. We need to be on our toes with the song leaders. We need to be on toes as a congregation. We need to be on our toes as a ministry. Brother Childers paid too much for us to sit here and act like we don't know what we're doing. I mean, if I was him and I turn around and see y'all looking like I saw you looking this morning, I'd be disappointed in you. Because he paid too much for it to just... And I paid too much for us to sit here. And you paid too much for us to sit here and act like that. So it's good. It's good to see you all here, actually. I am happy to see you. I don't know. Sometimes I just get stirred up, but I'm happy to see you. I just want things right. And that, you know, I want it right. I want us right. I want us to be burning. I want us to have an enthusiasm about what we have. And if you're, like I said, if you're a sweeper salesman and you're not thrilled at what you're selling, I don't want to buy it. And if I'm coming here and you're supposed to be the most revelated, most elected, selected group of people that God has chosen for this hour, oh my, if that doesn't do something for you, I don't know. I don't know what else you need.
Amen.
He has given us the best that he has. The best. He didn't half do it. Matter of fact, you've got more than anybody's ever had. You understand more than anybody's ever understood. You can answer every question. You have a solution for every problem. You have an answer for every situation. And if we can't get it now with what we've got, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. If it stirs up an 87-year-old, what should it do to you? I mean, it really should. Now, we have had messages here recently, and I'm going on this morning with it. We've been talking on doctrines, different doctrines, because the thing that turns us on and the thing that saves us and helps us through this life is doctrine. It's not emotions. It's not good days versus bad days. It's not God giving you a bunch of good stuff. It's doctrine. When you have the Word of God, and doctrine is the Word of God, the Word of God perfectly interpreted, that's what you need in your life. You need it interpreted in such a way that you can understand how it can be used in this life. Doctrine's not going to help you in your glorified body. It's only going to help you here. It's going to help you when Satan has access to you. Because you got to understand, as much God you have, Satan still has access to your spirit and your flesh. He'll still talk to you. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's going to lie to you the longest day you live. The devil's going to lie to you. And you need doctrine to fight the devil with. What did Jesus fight the devil with? Doctrine.
I'm a doctrine preacher. I've never known a man preach any more doctrine than I preached. Brother Branham was a doctrine.
He's a doctrine preacher. Any real preacher in this hour is a doctrine preacher. Because it's the doctrines that gets us to where we need to be. And there's so much false doctrine out there. And with all this false doctrine out there, people cannot overcome. You don't overcome with false doctrine. Because false doctrine is going to put it back on you. And put it back in your hands. And put it back on your inlets. And say, well, you got to make sure you think right. You got to make sure you talk right. You got to make sure you know, and that's going to put it back on you. But that's false, because God has one thing that he is taking out of here. That's your soul.
I have traveled the world over.
It's not out there.
And it ain't out there.
It is not out there.
I've never heard a man preach any more doctrine.
Any more doctrine. You know, Brother Childers said it right. He went as far east as he could go. And it's funny, because I didn't think about this till the other week. I went as far west as I could go. He went as far as Philippines, and I went as far as Africa. And we've been in this revelation's been around the world. It's been around the world. And believe you me, it's not out there. Doctrine is not out there. People have a form of godliness, but denying the power or the revelation thereof. So we've been talking on doctrine, because the doctrine is going to help you. The doctrine is going to strengthen you. The doctrine is what's going to make you a strong believer. Being a strong believer is because you have word. Jesus was strong because he had the word. At 12 years old, I think Jeremiah said last week or so, he confounded the doctors and his wisdom because of his doctrine. When he dealt with the disciples, he gave them doctrine. When he dealt with the church people, he gave them doctrine. When the devil approached him after he was fasting for 40 days, he gave the devil doctrine. Amen. So I thought, and I've been going over, and the brothers have been going over the last few weeks, different doctrines, because some people, and I was thinking about it this morning, I said, there are people in this message that are running without a message.
Right. Anybody should have doctrine
should be us.
The people in this message.
It should be us.
Because we have delivered doctrine around the world.
That's right. But you know what? The reason they don't have doctrine right is because they didn't want the doctrine right. Because of their traditions, they refused the doctrine and kept the traditions. And Jesus said, because the tradition of men had made the word of God of none effect to you. So we have had all kind of false doctrines. And so today, I want to talk on the doctrine of the Godhead. Because that's an important doctrine to have. I mean, every one of these are important. But I was listening yesterday, and I was thinking about the doctrine of Godhead anyway, but I was at this church, and he was talking about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and he was trying to preach to us and tell us how to we had to satisfy all three gods. And, you know, he was trying his best to work it through. And I'm sitting there listening to him. I says, they don't know. People just don't know the Godhead. And they don't understand it because they see the words, but they don't know how to run the doctrine. They don't understand any of that. You know, and when they see the words Father in the Bible, they think there's a Father. And then they see the words the Son in the Bible, they think there's a Son. And then they hear and see Holy Ghost, they think there's three because they see this thing. But they don't understand how it works. So I wanted to start reading here with Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 4 is really the key point here in this reading. It says, there is one body. There's only one body. That's why you can't love part and hate the other. You know, with your own natural body, there's only one body. You got to take care of the entire body. You love it all. But one body. There is one body and one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope for your calling. There's only one hope. There's only one calling. God's calling us to Him. There's not two and three and four. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's only one. You say, well, they're talking about three Lords, three gods, three this, three that. You got to make it run in your doctrine. See, if you're reading it and it bumps heads with your doctrine, something's wrong with your interpretation of the reading. Because the whole plan of redemption, salvation, every bit of it all dovetails together. It's all got to run. All of your doctrine has to run. You can't have some scriptures and say, I understand this scripture, but I don't understand this one. I know how this runs, but I don't know how that runs. It all has to run. That's why if you get a Bible question, you should now have a Bible answer. Because all the doctrine, it's got to fit in there somewhere. That's why when they talk to me about clones, I don't have to go look it up. I know right away all life comes from God.
Right.
Whatever a clone is, it's got to dovetail in with the Word of God.
Right.
All life comes from God. God tracks all life. So it doesn't take a bunch of study. It doesn't take a bunch of reading. Everything you get's got to dovetail in with your doctrine.
Right.
So there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all.
Right.
Above all. And through all, and in you all. So when you're talking about God, you're not even talking about the Godhead completely until you include the Godhead that's in you. A lot of people don't mind talking about the Father. They don't even mind talking about the Son. But when you call yourself God, they have trouble with that. When you say God's here, they have trouble with that. They'll say, oh, well, you have an anointing. No, God's here. Well, no. Well, he's just with you. No, he's in me.
Amen.
Well, it's the same God that was the Father. It's the same God that was the Son.
Amen.
He just changed his mask and put himself inside of human beings. But but it's still God. People almost think they're getting a lesser God. Well, we don't have the God. No, there's only one God. If you get one God, you don't get a lesser God. You get the God.
Amen.
And so when we're talking about the Godhead, unless you get the Godhead right, you won't even have the authority that you need.
Jesus only. I had to fight through that. Because they had a truth, but not the truth.
Right.
Trinitarians had three. I had to fight through that. Brother Branham believed in three, but made one out of it.
Right.
So he helped me with the Godhead.
See, I come from apostolic, and we were Jesus only. When I was raised, I was Jesus only. I knew that because Jesus, the way I was taught growing up, Jesus was God. And I was apostolic, so I wasn't a Trinitarian, so I didn't believe in three gods. I only believed in one God. So since Jesus was God, Jesus had to be that God. And Brother Brown said, we don't believe in the Godhead like God is in one like this. This is a Jesus only for you. They believe Jesus is everything. They believe Jesus is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They believe he's all everything. That's the way I was raised. That's Jesus only. But when you really look at the scripture, Jesus had a father. So your doctrine has to dovetail that in there somewhere. So how in the world can Jesus be the only God if he had a father? So then your doctrine has to be able to explain how Jesus can be both God and a son. Because a sonship has a beginning. Brother Branham said a sonship has a beginning. You can't have an eternal sonship. So even though Jesus was the son, that had to have a beginning somewhere.
Done it. I preach he's both God,
yes,
and man.
And man. And that's where they can't rightly divide it.
That's where they can't rightly divide.
Because they want to make him all God, but he was God and man. Brother Branham said that when he was at the grave of Lazarus and he prayed and cried, that was man. He cried for his friend. But when he said, Lazarus, come forth, that was God. So see, when you're talking about the Godhead, you've got to include the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and you've got to include yourself.
Amen.
You've got to include yourself. If you don't include yourself in the Godhead, you're missing the Godhead.
Amen.
All right, Brother Branham said here, he said, like Luther preached justification, but he left it run wild because he didn't live long enough. And they organized the church. Luther never organized it. After Luther, then Wesley come forth, and after Wesley, they got Wesleyan church. And then after that come John Smith, the Baptist, and Alexander Campbell, and so forth. But the man, the reformers, didn't live long enough to get it all together. And so a lot of loose ends left, like, and then when they did, for instance, the water baptism, John Smith brought back the water baptism in immersing, but using a little, and many of those things that were left loose, when we come down to the end, the last message is supposed to be straightened all up. To bring these things to one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Brother Branham was explaining to us that we could not even get the Godhead right until after the opening of the seals. We couldn't get it right because we had too much credence. That's one of our main doctrines.
Yeah.
And we could not get this doctrine. You say, well, why are you wasting time on this? This is one of the most important things you need to understand.
Yeah.
Because if you understand the Godhead, you'll understand who you are.
Yeah.
You will understand that God is here in human beings, come down to earth in skin, and he is manifesting what his will is through you. One of the main doctrines that was confused until the opening of the seals. Didn't even know the difference between the Father and the Son. Didn't know how it worked together. Couldn't rightly divide it until the opening of the seals, where God came and he brought all the doctrines together and all the understanding come to us. Then all these loose ends could be discovered. Then we can understand what it is, why we even come to God. Do you know why you come to God? You come to God because you are God.
Right.
You have a piece of God in you.
Right.
and he's coming for his own. Amen. Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me will come. You're going to come because you're part of him. Amen. He's not going to lose one. You're not just here to play in a gamble to think, oh, maybe I'm going to be good enough to make it to heaven. This isn't even about going to heaven. This is a...
Son.
Yes, you have to have the Father first.
Right. You have to have.
And it's I always thought this was a little weird. And I'll tell you what my question was I had. Why would a father send his son to pay his debt? When I was oneness, I never could get that right because I thought I wouldn't send my son to pay my debt. I'll pay my own debt. I never did get that until I found out how the Godhead worked.
Amen.
It wasn't God sending his son to pay the price. It was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He paid his own price.
Amen.
He paid his own debt. It wasn't him sending his son. See, when God used the term of a sonship, it was just a different manifestation of the same God. It was the same God in Christ. And that because Christ had to be a kinsman, he had to be a man-child, and he had to come here as a man to be able to pay the price as God, because God can't die. Oh, my. When you start seeing how the Godhead really works, then this whole plan of redemption starts making sense. I wouldn't have my son pay my bill. I pay it myself. Same way it is with God. God didn't send his son to pay the bill for him. He came in Christ to pay the bill for himself because nobody else could pay it. God wanted to become man. And you know what? Jesus wasn't even the lowest God wanted to be. Because remember, Jesus came by the spoken word.
Amen.
He was not born by sex. He did not have those same things to happen to him that happened with us. He came virgin birth, virgin born, because he was the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb that had to be without spot or wrinkle. In other words, he had to come without sex. Because we come by sex, and we are the lowest thing that God wanted to get in.
Amen.
God humbled himself so low that he could get in man who was born by sex. But this flesh, your flesh, my flesh, couldn't pay the price. Because we were born in sin. Jesus was not born in sin. See, that's where God was coming down. He was so perfect in his plan that he knew that he had to have a lamb that was spotless,
right.
And that's why he produced a son.
Amen.
And it wasn't a sonship like me and my son. This was God. See, if it was me and my son, that's still two people. But when you saw Jesus, you saw God. They said, show us the Father. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. How saith thou, show us the Father? Now, if you ask me this morning, show us David. And you look around and say, well, David's not here. I can't use that. When you see me, you see David. No, when you see me, you see me. When you see David, you see David. And if David's not here, you can't see David. But the way God worked, it was God coming down in human skin. So when they said, show us the Father, they wanted to see God. And Jesus, who was the Father in skin, come to them and said, when you see me, you see the Father. When they couldn't pick it up. If you ask me this morning, I want to see the Father. I want to see God. I can say to you this morning, when you see me, you see the Father. Oh, my. Now you're talking about the Godhead. Now you're getting it straightened out. You say, oh, I never understood it like this. I'm teaching you this morning how the Godhead really works.
Amen.
That's how it works.
Amen.
You don't have to look nowhere else for God. And you know what else? John 1:1 tells you how to find God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, verse 14, was made flesh. The Word can become flesh, and the flesh can become Word. When you, it explained it right there. When you see us, you see the Father. When you see us, you see the Word. See, that's why I said, when God becomes one with you, your life becomes a manifestation of the Word. You'll start fulfilling the Word. You'll be about your Father's business. And your Father's business isn't about your business. Your Father's business might make you leave your job, might make you move to another city, might make you stay in a city, might make you do all kind of things, but it's all surrounded about the will of God, because it's God in you reconciling the world unto Himself. You say, oh, I thought it was God in Christ. It was God in Christ, but now it's God in Nate. He's still reconciling the world to Himself. Till He gets it back to where He had it when in His mind, He'll still reconcile it. This earth needs reconciliation. It's been water baptized. It's had its justification. It's had its sanctification. But it's still waiting on its fire baptism. And that's just slow close. It's just dead ahead. That fire baptism for the earth is just dead ahead. Play around with those nukes all you want. Play around and act like you're going to get nukes all you want. Take as many as you want, because you know what? That's going to bring about that fire baptism, that first burning that's going to burn the earth off and leave it down there to just a root and stubble.
Amen.
That first burning, which they're playing around with now, is going to burn this earth off. It's going to happen. And they're getting the right people in the right places to make it happen. You got crazy ones here, you got crazy ones there, and they're going to pull the trigger one of these days. Huh?
Is eternal.
What is eternal?
The fire.
Yeah, that's what I said. That first burning is a natural burning that happens by man. He's going to destroy himself. But there is coming a burning that's going to leave it neither root nor branch. And that is going to be the final burning, where the earth gets its eternal burning. So, yeah, they're going to burn this place off. But you know what? They've got to. It's already lined up. It's already lined up. So as the earth gets its burning, it's going to do just like what happened to us. You had to be justified. You had to be sanctified. And you had to have a burning. Because to get that burning is to get the Godhead working in your life. Okay. Now, you know, in Genesis 1, I won't read it. I got it here. 26 and 27. Just to save time. When God said, let us make man. Now, those of you out here in radio land who think that God was talking to the Son and the Holy Ghost, they say, see, let us. Who are us? I was thinking about that yesterday. I said, who are us? You got to understand, God didn't have anybody back there to talk to. He didn't have anybody to determine what He wanted to do. So when God back there in Genesis 1 said, let us make man, who was He talking about? All right, Ephesians chapter 10. He did.
And He said, let us.
Right, let us. Yeah. I think it's Ephesians 1. It's Ephesians 1, verse 10. That in dispensation of the fullness of time, that He might gather together into one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. Everything that's in Him. Because it all comes out of Him. The plan came out of Him. We came out of Him. Amen. Why do you think out of the side of Jesus Christ on Calvary came out water, blood, and His life? Yeah, right. Because that same thing that came out of Jesus was the same thing to get back in Him. Right. It takes water, blood, and the life to get back into Christ. Amen. All of these things tie together, people.
Right.
These are doctrines on top of doctrines. Amen. On top of doctrines that just all dovetail together.
Amen.
Water, blood,
and life. Yeah. You got to have it. For a new birth, you have it. For a natural birth, you have it. It all, you got to have all three in a birth, natural or spiritual. Okay. He said in the dispensation, he said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose. I'm just pushing on through that. I ain't talking about predestination today. We talked about that the other day, but it all dovetails together. It says here, in whom we have we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He counseled with himself. He would make something, he'd do something, whoo, that's good. Nobody else. See, the Trinitarians try to look at it and try to make you think that he was talking to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. No, there was no Son. There was no Holy Ghost. He counseled with his own will. God said, he said, I can swear by nothing greater than myself. Says nothing better, nothing higher, nothing more solid. He counseled with his own will. God decided what he wanted, and then he said, that sounds like a good idea. God thought of something else. And said, oh, I think that's a pretty good plan. Do you know that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world? Where was it slain? In the mind of God. God already determined in his mind that lamb was going to be slain before the world even began. Before there was a fall, God already had a plan. Oh, my. All of these things came from the mind and the will of God. So when you're talking about the Godhead, you got to talk about God. God counseled with himself. He made this plan himself. He decided this whole redemption story. You think the fall in the garden was an accident? That was all taken care of. That was already covered. This whole sex plan that we've got down here on earth, you think that was an accident? God plumbed Adam and Eve for sex from the very beginning. He knew it was going to happen from the very beginning. And you want to blame an apple for that? I'll fall back on what Brother Children says. It wasn't a pear in a tree, it was a pear on the ground. Amen. See, all this stuff dovetails together. Sex was introduced in the Garden of Eden. Yes. The first children came wrong from the act in the Garden of Eden. Yes. We needed a Savior from before the foundation of the world, because it was already planned in the mind of God. And he'd already counseled with his own will. And he already purposed that he was going to condescend himself down to a man called Jesus. And then he was going to condescend himself down unto the Holy Ghost. And then he was going to condescend himself down to a thing called Nate Moore. Already declared from before the foundation. Do you realize if you got a new birth today, your name was transferred into the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world? That means God had already settled it. He had already in his mind saw the whole plan by his foreknowledge and transferred you before you did good or evil. Oh, this is a big story. That's why I said you don't even understand the Godhead until you include yourself. And when you find out that you are God, oh my, it makes you walk a little taller. Makes your chest sticks out a little farther. It makes you realize that I'm here for a purpose. I got something to do. God is here in me to do something down here on earth. It wasn't just Jesus coming to die on the cross. Nate came to live for Christ. That's what this is about. He counseled after his own will. You know, in God's mind, you can't even really talk about this until you go back into the mind of God. You really can't. You can't talk about the Godhead unless you go back to the mind. You can't talk about salvation unless you go back to the mind. All these things were included in the plan. Where do you hear this? We've been around the world. It's not being taught. It's not being preached. They're, every time they finish a service, they got a bunch of work for you to do. You got to do something. I don't have to do nothing. He did it before the foundation of the world. He already knew I was a son. He already knew I was going to manifest. I am manifesting what he already saw. I am fulfilling the word of God because of who I am. That's what's happening. I didn't know I was going to take over when Brother Childers sat down. I didn't know that. I didn't know nothing about this message. I didn't know nothing about a prophet. I didn't know nothing about a restoration. I didn't know things were lost. I didn't know nothing. But come to find out, God had a plan for me. And that plan was for me to carry this thing when he got tired of carrying it. Now, what am I going to do? God's not going to make me do it. But I love him so much that I want to do it. So that's why I get so, I get, you know, like this morning, it's like, come on, people. God's not going to come down and make you. He's not going to force you to serve him. He's not going to make you come to church. He's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to make you. He's not going to make you. But because of your love for him, you should want to. I always go back to where Brother Joe said there should be a sense of obligation. You should feel obligated to God. I feel obligated. I feel like, God, you can have anything of mine that you want. Use it how you want. Do whatever you need. You know what? I would not live in Fairborn, Ohio if it wasn't for this message. I'm here because God brought me here. I'm here because the word is here. I'm here because I see the need. I saw the need years ago. I saw Brother Childers needed some help. And nobody seemed to know how to help him. Nobody could get with him. Nobody could understand him but little old me. And then I, like I've always said, if you see it, it's yours. If you see the need is there, you got to step up. That'll prove who you are. I've seen people come and go. I've seen them do a loud testimony, talk all day long, say a bunch of big words, and do nothing. And the whole time they're doing their talking, I'm just answering emails for Brother Childers, answering letters. And they're doing these big testimonies, and they're big preachers, and they're all up here in the front telling everybody something that he's not even preaching. And the whole time I'm looking at them saying, you don't even have a revelation. You don't even know what you're talking about. But yet they're up front doing all the big things, getting all the big fighting each other. We had preachers fighting preachers here. And Brother Childers was sitting here shaking his head like, you all are a mess. They'd bump heads, they'd fight, they'd fought over holidays, they fought over they'd come with all kind of revelations that he didn't even bring. They come up with these new ideas and trying to teach it to his wife. And Brother Childers would have to rebuke it and set him down and everything else on his son. He had to fight for this revelation. And he fought and he fought and he fought. So when I started fighting with him, they didn't like him and they didn't like me. I always told him, I said, Brother Childers, I get hit with more rocks because of you. I'm just standing next to him. They're throwing rocks at him and they can't see straight, so they hit me. But he got more fights. He got more trouble over this revelation. And I said to myself, I said, God, if nobody sees this, I see it. If nobody will stand behind what he's got from you, I'll stand behind it. And then when he turned the church over to me, I said, I am not changing one thing. I'm not bringing one new revelation. I'm not trying to bring any other prophet, doctrine, on and on and on. What we have is enough for the body change. Do you know we've been feasting off of what he fed me for the first 20 years of my life down here, and then now in the next 20 years, I'm still eating off of what he fed me, and what he fed me was what he got out of the room in 1973 when God fed him. So why in the world would I try to bring anything different? What else do you need? They don't see that. They think we got to come up with some new idea. You know what? If this revelation doesn't turn you on, then I can't help you. Amen. If this isn't enough for the journey, then I can't help you. God did not give us a half-baked cake. He gave us everything we needed, Brother Childers. When you come out of that room in 73, you came out with everything you needed. When I got it in 1980, I got everything I needed. Have you learned a lot? Yes. Have you grown a lot? Yes. Have you moved a lot? Yes. But what I had, I had.
Amen.
And I don't need nothing new. That's why when they're always shining things over here, shining things over here, come over here, come over there, I'm not even interested. I'm busy being turned on with what I got. I take little bites off of the revelation that this man had. Just one little bite, and it'll be a whole service.
What God has done for me.
No, they don't. They don't realize.
They think I just a little dumb.
They have no clue.
Don't know what I'm talking about. Don't even know what's going on.
They have no clue.
I knew what God was using me for.
And do you realize that when God got finished in 1973 with him, giving him what he gave him, it tied everything together. So now you and I have it made. It should be easy for us. It should be easy for us to just receive. You don't have to dig it up.
They think I've been a boaster.
Well, because they don't understand what you have.
Yeah, they think I'm...
But you know what? But when you get this revelation, it'll make you look like a boaster. It will. Because you're going to talk bold. Because you are the only one that knows what you're talking about. That's the thing that I know. I know what I'm talking about. And I can help you if you are not so hard-headed and will listen. But if you got your own tradition and you got your own ideas, I can't help you. Brother Children can't help you. Brother Branham can't help you. Jesus Christ himself can't help you. That's why most people don't get this. That's why a lot of people come and go. They come in and they get just enough. Like I said, they run without a message. They get just enough revelation to know that God's done something, but they don't understand it, and then they don't get the doctrine. Because see, what you got, Brother Children, was the doctrine. What happened to you in 73 was doctrine.
Right.
What happened to me in 1980 was doctrine. That's it. It wasn't for no other reason.
Right.
Because you can get everything else anywhere else, but you cannot get doctrine.
Right.
And sound doctrine is the only thing I'm trying to get to y'all here. I'm not trying to pat you on the back. I'm not trying to keep numbers. If you don't like me, go away. If you don't want this, take a hike.
Amen.
But I'm teaching sound doctrine now to make you stable so that God can use you in this hour. That's what it's about. It's about receiving sound doctrine. That's all you gave me, Brother Childers.
Why you followed me so close?
They didn't understand it.
They didn't understand.
They were going after everything but sound doctrine.
They thought we were both.
See, what people try to do is they try to mix their ideas with our sound doctrine. And it won't work. It won't work. You cannot do it that way, because what will happen is you'll get off. You'll get off of sound doctrine. You'll have just enough doctrine to make you look churchy, but it won't be sound. Because you won't be going the way the word's going. You'll be going like this, off somewhere.
Right.
And Brother Branham said, shoot an arrow. If it's off a little bit here, by the time it reaches its destination, it'll be way off.
Preach
sound doctrine. That's what you got to do.
That's what Paul wanted. That's what Paul done.
Right.
That's what Brother Branham done. And that's what I've done.
And that's what I'm doing.
And
all right. Now, Christ the mystery. Now, God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now, back in the back part of his mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God, but he exactly wasn't God at that time, because God is an object of worship, and there wasn't nothing to worship him. So he wasn't really God. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. You know, like I said earlier, I said you cannot even talk about the Godhead without talking about attributes. You can't. Okay. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love. In him was to be a father. In him was to be a son. In him was to be a savior. In him was to be a son. In him was to be a healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. He counseled after his own will. So my opinion, Brother Branham said, the first thing that he made was angels. And then they worshiped him. And that made him God. And he started from there. As in previous messages, I've tried to explain it, break it down. And now and then, when angels begin to worship him, that was before there was ever a molecule in the earth. There was nothing. It was all darkness. There was no such sun, nor moon, nor stars, nor nothing. Then he was God, and he asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? See? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. See? Now, where were you? See? That was way back before the earth. That was way back there. And you can't even talk about God right unless you talk about his attributes. Amen. And people have no clue about attributes. They don't know how to deal with attributes.
None of the denomination knows.
If denominations even understood that attributes were in there, they'd understand how the Godhead worked.
Yeah.
But they don't even know about it at all. It took a prophet and it took the opening of the seals for us to be able to understand the Godhead and even understand that there were attributes in God. So, now Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. They read this scripture all the time. And when they read this scripture, they get three gods out of it. They said, Jesus, they said, we baptized like Jesus said. It's red letter. It says, baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So you know nobody was ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost until Nicaea, Rome started back in 325 A.D. Not one person. Everybody was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ from day one. So when Jesus said that in Matthew 28:19, the disciples went out and obeyed him and did exactly what he told them to do. He said, baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In other words, you should understand by now how the attributes work. You should understand who the Father is. You should understand who the Son is. You should understand who the Holy Ghost is. It's not three gods, it's only one. It's not three names, it's only one. And those aren't names anyway, those are titles. Father is not a name. If I say, hey, Father, all the daddies in here would look at me. Hey, son, all the men, all the boys would look at me. See, those are titles. And a title shows you an office or an attribute of what he's doing. It doesn't say the name. There's only one name under heaven given by where men must be saved. See, all of these scriptures have to dovetail, Brother Childers. You can't say you're a believer of the Word of God and baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when nobody did that. Do you know why they did that? Rome put that in there because Rome didn't know what the Godhead was. They lost track of who God was. And they started baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because they misinterpreted the Scripture into making three gods out of it. But it's not three gods, it's one God. And he told him to go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In other words, find the name that brought you these attributes and baptize in that name. Amen. You say, that's not important. It's so important. Because there's no other name. How is she going to get there? Why don't we just baptize you in the Buddha's name? Why don't we just baptize you in the Pope's name? It's a name. But there's only one whereby we must be saved. So when you talk about the Godhead, you got to talk about his attributes. Can't get around it. Can't. You can't. If you don't talk about the attributes, you don't even know it. Now,
you'll never
understand. You know, I had a lady tell me this, and this was a long time ago, back when I was at Shotsmith. She told me, she said, nobody understands the Godhead. And I thought to myself, I said, I do. I don't have a problem with it. I know how the attributes work. But because they don't understand the attributes, they don't understand what the offices are. Brother Brown said, my revelation by the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Holy Spirit is the self-same person. See? Only in a different form. That's all. That's the only difference. So here stands Christ, the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb. He's standing here with the books in his hand. And there goes the white horse rider, see? So it wasn't the Holy Spirit. So if he's standing there with the book in his hand, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was Jesus. That's what Brother Brent's trying to show you. He's just in different forms. Now that's one of the mysteries of the last days. And you think the Godhead's not important? Very important. You think the knowing how God works is not important? It's one of the mysteries for this last day. The doctrine of the Godhead is so important to understand because you can do so much. You don't even understand who you are without it. Says it's one of the mysteries of these last days, how that Christ could be three persons in one. How he can be three persons in one. It's not three different people. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost being three gods, as the Trinitarians try to tell us it is. It's three manifestations of the same person, or you might call it three offices. You can call it three offices. You can call it three attributes. But don't say it's three persons. If you're talking to ministers, you wouldn't use office because just happen to think, he said, I just happen to think I'm on the tape. See? Of course, Christ could say, Christ couldn't say, I'll pray to my office and he'll send another office. We know that. But if you want to make it, it's three attributes of the same God. If you want to talk about three, it's three attributes. An attribute is a thought that was in the mind of God that came and was manifested. Let me stop here for a second, because Brother Branham gave us the best example that we could possibly use to explain it. I am a father. I'm a husband. I'm a son. How many of me do you see? But all of those attributes were in me when I was 2 years old.
Oh, wow, to understand this.
It took him himself. He couldn't even understand until after the opening of seals. But to see my manifestation of those attributes in me, it took time. I was not a husband until I got married. I could not express the attributes of my fatherhood until I had children. The first thing I express is my sonship. It must still be. It doesn't give me three names. I only have one name. But if you look at me, I'm expressing those attributes and more. I had attributes in me of a pastor. Didn't know it. I had attributes in me of a minister. Didn't know it. Many things that we express in our lives, just like God. God had all these attributes. You say, well, I've never been taught this in my Baptist church because they don't know it. I've never been taught this in my apostolic church because they don't know it. Those are attributes. It says, but if you want to make it three attributes of the same God, not three gods, three attributes of the same God, see? And so how could Christ be out there with the white horse conquering and standing here with the book in his hand? It isn't so. It isn't Christ. Notice now, the Holy Spirit and the revelation and Christ The Holy Spirit is Christ in another form. That's right. Notice, it's the Lamb that opened a book, and the Lamb's Christ, and Christ is seen, is not seen anymore from then, but now he's seen on the book of the 19th chapter, book of Revelation 19th chapter, coming on a white horse. Brother Branham was trying to show us that you have to have attributes expressing God in many forms. We have attributes of God in this church in many forms.
In the attributes, you couldn't get him right.
You wouldn't get him right. If you don't even bring up attributes when you're talking about the Godhead, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. Now, just to hurry here, because I'm about wrapping this up. All right. It says, now, many people get the Trinity all mixed up and show us the Father. He said, when you go to think about it, some make it three different individuals, and some make it one, and they're both wrong. Notice, it's not three gods. It's three manifestations of the same God. See, the three it's three attributes. God the Father that was in the wilderness in the form of the pillar of fire, and then the same God expressed himself in his Son, which was the same God in his Son, and now the same God now expressed himself in you and I.
Amen.
Same God. He
had to include us.
He included us in the Godhead.
Amen.
If you're not included in the Godhead, you can't go. You won't understand how God works unless you can include yourself. In you and I, as the Holy Spirit, the same God all the time. Not three gods, three manifestations of the same God. Three attributes of Father. That's what he was. He displayed it as his Son. It was he. That's what he was, and now as the Holy Spirit in his people. You don't even know the Godhead unless you know who you are. God condescending, couldn't be touched but because of sin. Then God himself was made reflected in a man. Because man was made in the image of God, and God was made in the image of man in order to suffer so that he could take away sins. And now he is in us. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. God in us. You don't even know the Godhead unless you conclude me. You don't know the Godhead until you got God in you. You don't even understand how God can move in attributes until you see him moving in your life. You know what? You got to be able to see God moving in your life. And that's the fulfilling of his scriptures. He is in you to fulfill the word. That's why we're here. That's why God called you, because he is the word. You become the word, and then you are manifesting Christ. Now we're talking about the Godhead. All right. God expressed in Jesus Christ, who is both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. The complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in the church. Only place you're going to find him. Look around you. This is where you're going to find God. Wait, you know what? Go to your Baptist church. Go to your Methodist church. Go to your Pentecostal church. They're not going to put God in you. They're going to put some anointing on you, something you can get and lose, something that maybe God can gamble away on you. They're going to give you a little piece, a little bit. But I'm telling you, if you come from God, you're going to God. I'm telling you that God is in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only way that this world is ever going to get it right is to get right with the attributes.
Amen.
It's the only way. The complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in this church. The preeminence. And that's all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church, the believers. The Godhead explained includes us. If you want to talk about the Godhead, it could not be. You must understand. See, people, you don't. And that's why we come to church. We come here to get these doctrines so that we can understand the doctrines. so we can understand who we are, so we understand where we come from. So when the devil tells you on those days that you have the devil with his foot on your neck, have you ever had any of those days? I have. You're laying there and he's got your guiltiest charge. You did it and you know it, and the devil knows it. And he's got his foot right about here trying to cut off your wind. And he says you did, and you're laying there saying, you know I did. Yeah, you're right. You need some doctrine.
Don't do
it. Education won't get it. Because you know what? If you can be taught this, you can be untaught it. If you can be taught this, you can be taught the Trinity. And so it's not education. So when the devil's got his foot on you, you got to use the doctrine that's been revealed to you to get him off of you. You say, yeah, devil, you're right. But let me remind you, do you know you have your foot on God? Do you realize, Satan, that this foot's only here as long as I let it sit here? Matter of fact, I've had enough. Get off of me. I come from God, and I'm going to God.
Doctrine than any other apostle.
The apostles looked to him.
Yeah.
Peter said, you preach hard things.
Preach more doctrine.
Because the
doctrine. Brother Branham come along and preach more doctrine.
Than anybody else.
Than anybody else.
Because the doctrine is what we were missing. The doctrine is what we needed. They all went to the upper room, but they all didn't have the doctrine right. All right, now, Jesus said in St. John 14, don't turn there, just said, at that day you shall know. We know. You know, God's in us. God's in our vessels. I'm skipping down through 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of God, and God was preached. God was manifested. God was. It was God in all those things. It wasn't a second person, third person. It was the person. It was God. There's only one God. Now, Brother Brown said here in the World Fallen Apart, he said, but when he was crucified, rose again, and ascended to God on that day of Pentecost, he came back in the form of the pillar of fire and separated himself. Tongues of fire set upon each of them. God dividing himself among his church. That's what it is. It's God in us. Look around you. It's God dividing himself right here. You're not just dealing with anybody. You're dealing with God in human flesh. That's what you're dealing with. God dividing himself amongst the church. Because that was his wife. And a husband and wife are one together. And God and his church is one together. God in you. That was God above us, God with us, God in us. Same God all the time. Just three different manifestations, attributes or offices, or whatever you want to call it. Like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's the same God all the time. Now I'm going to jump down and says, God over us, God with us now, God in us. All that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into church. And at that day, he said, no. Brother Branham asked the question, what day is that day? He said, this day. After the opening of the seals, we should know. That's why we should be thrilled to come to church. That's why we should come here looking for doctrine. That's why we should be turned on every time it's preached. That's why it should make us stronger every time we learn something else. We tie this thing so tight that the devil can't weasel in it at all. That's why you should run to the house. Come here. Listen to the doctrine. Use the doctrine to overcome with this life. That's what it's here for. If you want to understand the Godhead, include me. I cannot lose. Why? Because I'm God. Oh, we've had a hard time saying we're God. We've had a hard time saying that we're God. I've heard us fighting about it amongst ourselves. I've heard us try to balance it out amongst ourselves. But you got to include yourself in the Godhead or you don't even know who God is. That's exactly who the Godhead is. You say, you won't get any more God than what you get in doctrine.
Just got here in the life.
At the end time. And that's why I wanted to talk on the Godhead. Because it's a doctrine that we needed for the end time. Every one of these doctrines were important to us to have at the end time to make us strong to stand when the devil howls at you. Because nobody else has it. That's why they're up and down, in and out. That's why they don't know which side their bread's buttered on. They don't know who's right, who's wrong. Nobody knows who's right. What? I know who's right.
Right.
I know who's right. I'm right.
Amen.
Why? I've got my doctrine right.
Yeah.
Don't hear it. Turn on your radio. Turn on your TV. Go to whatever church of choice you want to go to, and you won't hear this.
Right.
Good sermon.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't have the,
they don't have the doctrine.
The Godhead.
Mm-mm. They don't. And they're struggling with it, trying to find a way to talk about it without showing their ignorance.
Right.
They try to talk about it. And the thing I love about it is unless you have your doctrine right, you can't walk this.
Right.
You can try.
Right.
You try and you'll say the right words and they'll have the right sound to it. But somewhere along the line, there's no revelation behind it. It'll be as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. But if you get your doctrine right, like we have it right, the doctrine's right here, people. I mean, it's right. I've checked it out. I've looked it over. If anybody's questioned Brother Childers, I have. He told you. He'd get up here and preach and get about right there, and I'd stop him right there. Why? I want up my doctrine right. Didn't matter how much he wanted to go eat dinner. Oh, you eat later. I want my doctrine. I got to know. I wasn't playing games. I did not come to this church to play games. I did not come here to be churchy. I did not come here to have a form of godliness. I wanted my doctrine. I wanted the word because I wanted to be strong. I saw Brother Childers. He was a strong man. You know what made him strong? His doctrine. The doctrine is what made him talk bold. The doctrine is what made him stand up. And I said, I want what that man's got. I said that when I came in. I said, I want what that man's got. Well, I got what that man's got. He said, well, you're just like him. No, I'm not. I ain't got it nowhere else. A lot of people try to act like Brother. See, I knew that acting like Brother Childers is not the doctrine. Preaching like Brother Childers is not the doctrine. You got to get the same revelation of the doctrine that he's got. And I got that. When I got the same revelation, I started talking just like him. And I started running the doctrines just like he was running them. And everybody else sitting on the sideline trying to figure out how to come up with something new. I wasn't even worried about nothing new. I got so much to deal with what I got that I don't need nothing new. This doctrine will make you solid, strong, and let everybody know what you're talking about. If your doctrine don't run, drop it. If your doctrine don't match mine, drop it.
Nobody preaching like that.
No. No, Brother Childers said.
Here I am with a 9th grade education.
Right.
Very ignorant. But I had
had your doctrine right. And see, that's why I said it's not by education, because you don't get this by reading. You can't read this at home. People, if you could get this at home, I'd say let's just shut the church down. Everybody stay home and get the doctrine. But you can't get this at home.
Nope.
Comes by the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
You can't get it without preaching. You can't preach unless you're sent. There's not very many sent. That's not very many people who have their doctrine. Not very many people know the Godhead. No, they don't want it. They run from doctrine. You know what they do? They're going to the guys, and I'm talking about message people. They'll say, well, Brother Branham said that when you go to visiting churches that you can't talk doctrine. You know what? You can't preach without talking doctrine. You really can't. Yeah, I might try to be nice when I go out, but I still hit doctrine. I don't have a message outside of preaching doctrine. I never saw Brother Childers go somewhere and not preach doctrine. It's like once you see Jesus Christ, you'll always see him. It's like I can't help but to preach doctrine no matter where I go because I'm a doctrine preacher. We a doctrine church. We believe it. You've got to become that. And if you're not becoming a doctrine person, what are you becoming?
Right. That's right.
What are the other options are? You're either going to be a doctrine person or you're going to be full of creeds.
That's right.
Because the doctrine kills creeds.
Amen.
Every time Brother Childers would preach, I'd lay another creed down on my bench. I'd wait for the next service. I'd come expecting. I know God was going to deal with me. He's going to talk to me. And Brother Childers would get up and preach, and I'd lay another one down. And I got to a point, I said, you know what? I told y'all. I said, I am proud to say that I didn't have one thing right. To me, that makes me feel good. You know, people are They're so full of pride. So full of pride that they don't want to say they're wrong. I said I'm wrong so much that it doesn't even hurt my feelings to say it now. You know, Brother Branham said the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong because he knew that none of us had our doctrine right. None of us. None of us. Nobody in here, including Brother Childers. That's why the angel came in. That's why God had to come and deal with him because his doctrine wasn't right.
Amen.
But when he got his doctrine right, he started preaching and he started losing people.
I thought, I'm going to check this man because I love in doctrine before I met Brother Branham.
Right.
But I had nothing to judge it by.
No.
And I thought, I want to hear what this man got to say about his doctrine.
That's right.
I judged Brother Branham on his doctrine.
And I did the same to you.
And you done the same thing.
And you got to do the same to me.
That's exactly.
If I'm preaching doctrine, you are obligated to get it.
Yeah.
You're obligated to hold to it. And put it to work in your life. That's the only way it works.
I never heard nobody preach doctrine like Brother Branham.
No. Nobody else does.
It turned me on.
Yeah.
And I never was the same.
Mm-mm.
I enlightened myself in the doctrine that Brother Branham had.
And you know what? When he got the doctrine straight, that straightened it out for all of us.
Yeah.
But in order for you to get it straight, you got to, like Brother Church said, God told him, don't look at no man. Don't look at nobody. You can't get, because everybody else will have tradition, and God can't quicken your tradition. The Godhead, the reason we have it straight is because we had to lay down all of our ideas on it.
And you heard nobody preach any more doctrine than I preach.
No, that's why
nobody.
I stayed. That's why I stayed. That's why I stayed. That's why I asked questions. That's why I learned.
Right.
That's why I am where I am today. It's because I picked up sound doctrine. Right. You say, well, you got this right, and you got this wrong, and you got this right. You know what? You can pick my life apart all you want. I ain't worried about my life. I'm looking at the doctrine. You can't touch my doctrine. Can you be a better man? Yeah. Can you be a better husband? Yeah. Can you be a better father? Yeah. Can you be a better worker? Yeah. Can you get better doctrine? No. Nobody.
Your doctrine remains the same. All the time.
Nobody can bring me any more doctrine than what I've got right here.
That's right.
I got to say it. I got to say it. Been around the world. I've been there. They're asking us questions when we go. They're not sitting us down and saying, let us straight you out. They're asking us questions. They sit there with 100 ministers with us sitting up on a stage, four of us on a stage with one microphone or two, and they're out there firing questions at us as fast as they can because they're wanting to get their doctrine right. And we're sitting up there with all the doctrines right. Huh. You don't even realize what you got, people. How blessed Fairborn is to have what we have had for years. Brother Childers is right. I've been pastor now for over 20 years, and he and I went to the Philippines before I was pastor, and then that was 25 years since he was there. So it's been, this is not new. This has been tried and tested. We know our doctrine. We know the Godhead. We know how it works, and we know how to make it work in us.
We haven't heard it.
We haven't heard it. Been around there. You know, you might be sitting here saying, yeah, right, but no, we actually physically have been there.
Right.
You haven't. We have.
And Lottam says many good things.
Very good things.
But that's not what does it.
No. A good social message and gospel is not what will do the job.
Right.
If you want to be a strong believer, you've got to have strong doctrine. And it's got to be right, and it's got to run, and it's got to dovetail. That's why I want to bring the Godhead in this morning. I wanted us to add that to our collection of doctrines that we're talking on. And we brothers have been hitting it. If you haven't been here the last couple of services, we've been hitting doctrine after doctrine after doctrine, just hitting some things. So we should be stronger today than we were last week. We should be strung more on fire now than we were when we got here. I pray we are, because this morning y'all were looking rough. I don't know what happened to y'all yesterday, but y'all were looking rough this morning. But now you should say, you know what? I got the Godhead right. I know that the Godhead includes me. And that is going to be doctrine that I will use to help defeat the devil on this side. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word, for how the Godhead really works. Oh, there's so much more that could be said about the Godhead, but Lord, time, we're time creatures, and we only have so long that we could hold the people's attention before, Lord, fatigue sets in. So, Father, I pray that you continue to work with the congregation and continue to open the Godhead up so that they can see beyond a shadow of a doubt how it includes them, how perfect it is, and how that, Lord, you paid your price and come down here and brought the thing that we needed to overcome. And, Lord, there's never been an hour like this hour where we can stand with the complete, balanced revelation of the Word, complete answers to all the Bible questions. We're thankful for that. I ask you to just bless this group. Continue to help us to lay down our thinking. Don't fight it. Just let it go. Just lay it down. Brother Branham said that the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong. We don't hear that out of people these days. They want to fight and fuss and hold up something that doesn't even run with the revelation. But God, you have come to give us a perfect understanding. And if we can, and if we will, just lay our thinking down and pick your word up, it'll dovetail with everything that you hand us. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for this congregation. Lord, just let us be stronger today, knowing how the Godhead works. And let it be in such a way that, Lord, it'll just turn us on. And let all these doctrines that we're covering just make us solid Christians. Let it put such a solid foundation in our lives that, Lord, Satan won't be able to hold us down at all. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for yielded vessels, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, musicians. We're learning more and more and more and more as we grow. It should do something for us. It really should. And as it does more for us, it should make us stronger. I got a card here from Warren and Crystal. They want to thank the body for helping them in their move. And we can put it back on the board back there. And if somebody didn't get to see it, they just wanted to say thank you. Good to see them here again this morning. Amen. Good to have our brother here. And I saw Jennifer back there. Good Amen. To see you all here. Amen. God has been good to us.
Amen.
Too good for us to let him down. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Come back tonight, 7 o'clock, and let's see what the Lord has in store. Amen. A little boy.
Right.
He should have it right.
As they say, he's cut his teeth on it.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. From a little boy.
Yeah.
So if he don't get it right now, we're getting it. Amen. Come back tonight expecting. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, what a mighty God. Jesus is the God I serve. Oh, yes, Jesus is the God I serve. For the angels bound all of heaven and earth. Oh, what a
somebody.